Well, it's been a quiet week in Lake Wobegon, Minnesota, my hometown. Out on the edge of the prairie. It's been sunny and warm up there, warm enough for us anyway, and it's just been absolutely beautiful, been paradise, gorgeous. It's that time of year, though, when animals are courting each other and mating, and they get so passionate, and they forget to look both ways, and and so the bodies of dead lovers are on the shoulders, and this is very impressive to children. We hope they think about it, but we're not sure. Ricky Raccoon lying there, all curled up in the gravel, and he was on his way to see Raquel, and then he just got excited, and he took a shortcut, and there he is, and life is all over. Our visit here on Earth is very brief, and we know that. Dorothy, sitting in the chatterbox, was looking at the obituary. She doesn't read the front page anymore because she doesn't recognize the names, but the obituary she does. And there was her cousin Terry, who died out in Oregon, so young, 81. And John and Maddie's boy, Roger, who died at 57. So young. Our visit here is so brief. Round town, Clarence Munson sitting down at the barbershop, visiting Jim, waiting for Jim to get done cutting the hair of that stranger, whoever he is. Do I know him? I don't think so, Clarence thought. That stranger is sitting there waiting to have his hair cut. Clarence doesn't have much hair to cut anymore, but he enjoys it. He enjoys the conversation, and it's very pleasant to be fussed over. And also there's the jokes. Jim tells jokes. It's what he deals in. You sit down in his chair. So, he says, you know, two of Donald Trump's wives were immigrants, you know. So it just goes to show that those people will take jobs that Americans don't want to do. This was a joke making the rounds. Church Council was meeting this week on Wednesday. They had a number of issues to bring up. The children's choir sang the anthem at the Sunday service 2 weeks ago, and they sang it well, okay, but at the end of it, people applauded. And not everyone likes this idea of applause in church. We associate that with Baptists, not Lutherans. And so what do you do? Do you put something in the bulletin, or how do you handle that? And we've had the problem of people roaming around church in Sunday morning service for the sharing of the peace, you know, and they'll cross way over to the other side to shake somebody's hand and say, peace of the Lord, and it just makes the service last long. What do? We put something in the bulletin, please only share the peace with people on your side of the aisle, or how do we deal with this? And then there's the issue of the Amundsen's dog, this little border collie who's been coming to church now for about 6 years. And we don't mind exactly, except that the Amundsen stopped coming about 6 months ago. They stopped coming because there were so many things in the Nicene Creed that they disagreed with, and so they had to leave those blank, and then they just stopped. But the dog still comes, and people open up the door, and the dog comes in and takes its seat in the fourth pew over on the right-hand side, and it's a little distracting to Pastor Liz, you know, to look down from the pulpit and see that the dog is asleep, or worse yet, that the dog is looking at her and giving her this odd sort of eyebrows-raised look and looking as if he might bark at any moment. So these were all brought up at the church council meeting. Dwayne Bunsen was in church Sunday. He and his he and his wife LaDonna came up from Houston, Texas. They came up to help their parents, Clarence and Arlene, try to make a start on cleaning out their house. Arlene really wants to sell that house and move away, but Clarence has been collecting stuff, and they came up to help, and they were kind of astonished. Arlene said, you know, it's just a matter of a year or so until the mister and I are going to be navigating through narrow canyons in between piles of stuff. I mean, the den is impassable already. There could be raccoons living in there for all I know. And we just have got to make a start on this thing. So Dwayne and LaDonna tried to help them out. Arlene showed them the stack of books on his bedside table. It's about 5 feet high. It goes way up. She said, you know, that could fall on him at night and it would kill him. On the other hand, he's always said he wanted to die in his sleep. and it would make it easier to sell the house, but nothing you'd want to wake up next to, is it? So they helped out, Dwayne and LaDonna. They seem a lot happier together now. They've been married for 32 years, and it's about time, you know, you should figure this out. They were on the verge of divorce after about 10 years of marriage, but in the midst of their misery, they had three more children, and so they wanted to wait until the kids, you know, grew up and moved out of the house before they did anything dramatic like that. And it does take kids longer now to move out of the house, and so they sort of had time to pull things together and discover that they basically like each other. I mean, she's from Texas and he's not, and there's the problem. A Minnesota man leaves long pauses when he talks, and she takes those as periods, not as commas. And so she's trying to finish his sentences and fill in the blanks, and it just gradually irritates him, although being from Minnesota, of course, he'd never say anything about it. He would just gradually become more and more resentful and then, you know, eventually kill her with a fork or something. No, they seem happier together, and what has drawn them together, apparently, is what happened when they went shopping for a king-size mattress at a bedding warehouse outside of Houston, and they found this mattress in Innerspring, and he loaded it up onto the car. She didn't want him to do that. She said, just let the store deliver it. And he loaded it on the car, and he tied it with twine. She said, that's not going to hold. Ask them for rope. He said, can you for once please imagine that I know what I'm doing? She said, you never listen to me. They got in the car and they headed for home down the freeway. He was only going 60, and then he was hit by a gust of wind, and whoa, he could feel that thing lift off, and he pulled over to the side and he jumped out, and there it was in the middle of three lanes back about 50 yards, and he ran back that way. He could hear her screaming at him. He dashed for it and he grabbed hold of it, and then he saw headlights bearing down and he heard a diesel horn, and now he knew how raccoons felt. He grabbed hold of it and he hauled it up onto the shoulder. She was standing there sobbing and screaming. She got in the car with him. She gradually quieted down. They took back roads home. They drove 20 miles an hour. They got home. She fixed him a beautiful dinner, and she never once said, I told you. She never said that. She fixed him this beautiful dinner, and she went to bed with him, and they made love that night. And afterward, he lay in bed, and he wondered if he should tell her his big secret that he'd kept for 15 years. 15 years, the fact that this house that they live in, which he loves and she loves, he bought with the considerable help of $20,000 that he was paid by the father of a friend of his the father who paid him to take several gallons of grain alcohol and sprinkle them around an old warehouse that he owned and light it on fire and then run and burn it down for the insurance. He did it. It's against the law. It's a felony. You could get 20 years in prison for this. It was wrong. He knew it was wrong. He did it for his family. They bought a house. He's thought about this so often. He told her at the time that he got the money from his dad. It was a gift from Clarence. And now they're there in Lake Wobegon with Clarence and Arlene. And it worries him that she may say to his dad, "Thanks for the $20,000, Pops. Thank you. You saved our lives." And then what would he do? What would he say? He can't even quite think. He's thought of that this week, especially when he saw dead raccoons along the highway. He's thought about that. Our visit here is very brief, people. We don't have much time, so don't kill it. Don't kill time. It will die of its own accord. And that's the news from Lake Wobegon. Well, all the women are strong. All the men are good-looking. All the children are above average.